Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph at the fourth line. In our previous shir, we had learned the opinion of Rabbah. In order for an Uman not to have a chazakah, there have to be Edim that saw the object that he's being asked to watch, to work on, was given to him. And the other halacha was that he has to have people have seen this object with him. Ask the Gemara on that opinion. Masa Rava not Mietzcha. Uman ain't lechazaka. The Mishnah taught us that Uman doesn't have a chazaka because we assume that they were given to him to work on, not that he should become the owner. What we learn from him, from that Mishnah, is Uman huda ain't lechazaka. Uman doesn't have a chazaka. Ha'acher, someone who's not an Uman, Yesh Lei Chazaka will have a Chazaka on what he has, because as we've learned so many times, the Halacha teaches us Kol Ma Shetachas Yadoi, that if we see Metatlin that are in somebody's possession, the assumption is Hareim Shaloi De His. So ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the case that the Mishnah is discussing? Idik Edim. If there are Edim that saw this object being given to the Uman, and they also saw this object in the possession of this individual, and therefore were saying that by somebody else that's not a Uman, that person, even though there are Edim that saw it being given to him, and even though there are Edim that saw it by him, he still will be able to have a chazaka. The question is, Acher, why is that the halacha? Acha may yesh lei chazaka. Why will he have a chazaka? Because he can't say that he bought it. We can't say that he bought it because Edom saw it being given to him, and therefore the fact that Edom saw it being given to him should clearly be an indication that it's not necessarily his. Furthermore, Edom saw it by him. So he can't say, as we discussed in our previous year, that I had it and returned it. Ella, and we learned, it must be a case that there are leka edim. There are no edim that saw it being given to him. Viktani, and what are we learning? That even under the circumstances where there are no edim, Uman ein lechazaka, everybody else will be able to achieve a chazaka. But an Uman, even under those circumstances, will not be able to achieve a chazaka. So we see from here very clearly, says the Gemara, Tiyufta the Rabbi, Tiyufta, that says that if there are no Edom that saw it being given to the Uman, or saw it and see it by him, even the Uman could have a chazaka. Here we see that is only the halacha by other people, not by the Uman. And the Rashbam summarizes what we've been learning. If somebody gives something to someone else in front of Edom, one halacha is, as we discussed yesterday, it doesn't have to be returned to him in front of Edom. And as we learned towards the end of yesterday's shir, even Rabbi ultimately agreed with this halacha. If somebody saw this object by the Uman, so at that point the Uman no longer is believed to say it, that he bought it, with a migui that he could have said, well, I returned it and then bought it, because we see it by him anyway, so he doesn't have that migui. If we don't see this object by the Uman, however, he could say that he bought it because he has a migui that he could have said, I returned it. And that halacha, that if there are no Edom that could testify he currently has it, will be even in a case that he was given the object in front of Edom. Because since the halacha is, as we just said, even if you're given something in front of Edom, you don't have to return it from Edom, but he will have to swear. The Rishonim explained he'll have to make a shvuas hesed. Tana Rabbanan, nischaf like kalim b'kalim. If somebody got his clothing mixed up, his kalim clothing, shoes, whatever, umbrella mixed up with someone else's. So if this happened by Beis Uman, in the Uman's home, and I picked up, and the best example I presumably could give, is a laundry. And I picked up clothing from the laundry, and they gave me somebody else's clothing, Hare zeh yishtamish behem, the Allah allows me to use that clothing or whatever he gave me back, ach yova halo, until the person who owns those owns that clothing, v'yitala shaloi, will take back what he says belongs to him. However, says the Braisa, if this happened the base of a base of Mishnah, somebody was in a public area and something of his got mixed up with somebody else's, Harezer l'ishtamash behen, the halacha is he may not use it, ach yovei halo, until everybody gets back what belongs to them, v'yitala shaloi, everybody gets back what belongs to him. And the explanation of this Gemara, asked the Gemara, why is there a difference? Asked the Gemara immediately, if this happened, the Beis Umana happened elsewhere. Asked the Gemara, Maishno, why is there a difference in halacha between the Reish and the Seifa? Answers the Gemara, Amarava, have you sivna kamei di chavivi? I was sitting in front of my uncle, Rav Chia, v'amali v'chien adam osu loy malumen, it was very possible that the person told the Uman, B'choli talesi. And since he told the Uman, you could sell my talis, what that means to say is, he was saying that you have control, and if you want to give it and sell it, or give it to someone else, sell it to someone else, you have a right to do so. And therefore, since the Uman was given this permission, he has a right to wear the garment, even if it's not his, because he could assume that the owner wanted to sell it, and since he got paid for it, he doesn't mind who wears it. Says, and therefore, since that was the case, the halacha is that the person who gets the clothing may wear it. However, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, once the true owner comes and says, this is my garment, and he says, I didn't give permission for this Uman to give it to someone else, then the fact that he makes that very strong statement, that means that the halach is that he will be able to take it back. And Truma Sedeshin says, the halach is that even if he doesn't make the statement definitively, he just gives simonim, that will be enough that it should be considered his. Particularly, I saw that the Shach adds a dimension, because the person who was given this garment is saying, I really know that this garment is not mine. So combined with the person who now has the garment admitting that this garment is really not his, plus with the fact that the person who says that it is my garment, combining those two considerations, that's why he'll be able to get back the garment. The Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to explain that what's going to be if the person who was given the garment and was saying it's not his garment, and is giving it back to the person who claims it's his garment, the halacha is that he's going to have to pay the difference. He's going to have to pay the difference in the value between his garment and that garment. Our Gemara just taught us a very important halacha, which unfortunately comes up all too often, that if somebody has garment or whatever gets mixed up in a public place, Beis Avol, Beis HaMishnah, the Gemara says you can't use it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it was very common, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that people would go to places where they would, when it was raining, and that they would take off their rubbers, and then they would get mixed up. But since they're all really very much similar, and they're very much the same, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that there is an understanding that you will take yours, that you could have mine, and I could have yours. And the question is, how far do we take that heter of Darach HaShulchan? I saw that the Shailas Tshuvas Shevet HaLevi, Chelik Vav Simen Reish Lamed Hei, discusses a situation that somebody left his, there's a yeshiva with a lot of Talmidim, a lot of students that all keep their hats in the hat in a hat in a room, and all the hats look the same, and people get their hats confused. Says the Shevet HaLevi that is also included in the heter of Darach HaShulchan. On the other hand, I saw that it's Rav Moshe's opinion that he's not so quick to rely on this Darach HaShulchan's heter, and he says we can't just assume. It seems, the way I understand what Rav Moshe means to say, something like rubbers are not expensive and they're really all the exact same. So that's where we have such an understanding. However, where it's not something that is inexpensive, even they all look the same, the hats, we can't make such an observation. However, I saw that the Pesachei Choshen says that the Wawabir Halacha, if you don't know if somebody took something before the owner was where you don't know that the owner is aware that his rubbers, hat, umbrella were mixed up, were taken, so then you don't have the yush and the knowledge of the owner. When you don't have a situation that you have the yush and the knowledge of the owner, then the halacha is we can't be so lenient. However, Rav Moshe makes a very important halachic point. And that says, he says, since if there's a place that this happens often enough that people's clothing get mixed up, says Rav Moshe, and what are we supposed to do? If there's a sign put up that anybody's clothing or objects get mixed up, the person could take the thing that was left. Then Rav Moshe says that under those circumstances, we have a light, we have a right to be lenient. The Shailas HaTshuvos Binyamin Zev discusses that there were a number of people that lived in a community, he included, and gave clothing to a non-Jewish cleaners and gave them, I think the situation was shirts. They gave shirts to a cleaner, and after the cleaner finished with those shirts, she returned to everybody their shirts to their room, to wherever they lived. And he says, the Binyamin Zev, said that I was missing, she returned to me, I was missing one shirt. And I came and I told her that I'm missing a shirt. And she comes and brings me another shirt. And somebody else says that this shirt belongs to him. So says the Binyamin Zev, very much connected to what we just learned in our shir, that the halacha will depend that if the person who gets the shirt is concerned that this shirt may not be his, and somebody else is able to say that this shirt is mine, and he gives simonim in the shirt, the person who will give those simonim will get that shirt back. Says the Gemara furthermore, Amar Rav Chiya b'Reid Rav Nachman, this halacha that we just stated, Loi shanu elahu, if the cleaner himself gives this garment to the person who's coming to pick it up. So there we could say that the cleaner was given permission to do whatever he wants to do with this garment, and he has the right to sell it, and that's why he could give it to whoever he wants. Avalish the Rabban of the wife and children of that cleaner, who were not given that permission, Loi may not do that. Furthermore, says the Mavahu Nami, and even the cleaner himself, Loya Morin, this heter doesn't apply, El Da'oma Talistam, Da'omele Talistam, when he gives this person who's picking up the garment, says, this is a take this garment. But if he says, this is Aval Talischa, if he said, this is your garment, Loy, then he can't take the garment. Because High lav talis dehu. The person who's receiving the garment is well aware that this is not the garment. So after it for that, the Gemara here is a little difficult to understand. That if it's the person, if it's the cleaner giving this to the person who's picking it up, and he doesn't use the word talischa, your garment, he just says talis, then it's okay for me to use it, because there's the understanding that he instructed the woman that he could give the garment, sell the garment, do whatever he wants with the garment. Why, can we make such an assumption that that's what happened? Do people tell the cleaners, you could do whatever you want with my garment? So the Tva explains that under normal circumstances, we're under the assumption that a woman is very careful in returning the proper item to his clients. If we see that the woman gave somebody else's garment, he knew what he was doing. Particularly, adds the Sma, because let's follow the words that were said by the woman. Why did the woman, as the Gemara just teach us, tell us the words talis, kach talis, and then use the word talischa, your talis? The woman was being very specific in using that type of language, and the reason the woman was being so careful to use that type of language is because he realized that this may not be indeed the client, this person's garment, and he was giving it to him only under the assumption that I'm allowed to give it to you because of the permission that I was given. Amalei Abaye l'Rava. So Abaye says to Rava, continues the Gemara, Ta achvelach ramai de pampadisa my avdi. He says, let me show you what the people, the dishonest people of Pampadisa do. And he says, Amalei, havli sel v'loi. If somebody says to an uman, give back to me the garment that I gave to you to work on. And this uman says to him, lo hayu dvar ma'olam, you never gave me anything. So the person, who the owner of the garment, says to him, "Ha'isli sa'adi the chazu gabach. I have edim that saw this garment by you." Amalei, to which the woman says, "Hahu achrina hava. What those edim saw were not your garment; they were somebody else's garment." So he tells him, the person who says, "My garment is by you," says the Gemara. He says to him, "Avrina v'nachsinu." Let's present this garment and present the garment, and we'll see indeed what is the case. If we could see what it is. Amalei, Ivrelei Mefkinelei. He says, I won't take out the garment, because if you're coming to me, says this woman, if you're coming to me and saying something which I claim is just not true, I am not obligated to follow anything. Says the Sefer Iter. The halacha that we're learning now is quite an understandable halacha. What can I or what can I not demand of the woman? But the question that he asks is, why is it important to call this person, to give this person the title Ramoy de Pampadisa, the dishonest people of Pampadisa? Why is that a consideration in this Gemara? The issue is, what can I claim? Why can't I claim? So the Iter explains that really I should be able to say, make a shvua. But because we're speaking about a person who's ramoid pampadisa, people who are known to be dishonest, so I don't have the option, the ability to make him make a shvua. And that puts me, and that's why, because he's Ramoy de Pampadisa, it puts me into a weak position. There are Rishayim that explain that what Gemara is trying to say is that the debate over here between the woman and the person is regarding how much he owes him for the service that he did. And in order that he should be able to get him to pay in full, this is what he does. says the Gemara Amar Rava. So Rava says, this Ummat of Pumbadisa, who's refusing to show the garment, he's saying, Shapa Kamalei. He could say, what he's saying is, Lai Hayat Varma Olam, what you're saying happened, never happened, says the Gemara, because the Braisa that we learned in Daf Mem Hei said only in a case where Ra Tanya, where he saw this garment, then he has a right to make a claim and he has a migui. Here, he didn't see that actual garment that belongs to him there, and therefore the Uman has a right to the Uman has a right to make a claim that I don't know what you're talking about. Omer Vashi, but says Ravashi, if the person who claims that this person has his garment is chacham, is smart, so how will he get back the garment that he believes is his, that's by the Uman? What he should do is majvili ra. He should turn it into a situation that the Uman will present this garment, and once he'll present the garment and the Edom will say it, so that will weaken the position of the Uman. Domalei, well, he'll say to him, Zamait Fistalei, why are you holding my garment? You don't want to show it to the Edom. Lav, Mishum Deslach Gabai, you have something to hide. You have something to hide. And he says, Hashta, don't hide it. Present it. Afginu v'sheminu. Let's take it out and we'll evaluate how much I owe you. And shoch ata tadoch, and I'll pay you. Vashkol another day, and you'll give me back my garment. Amalei of Av Chabreid or Av Yil or Vashi. Matz Amalei. So the Uman realizes that he's trying to be set up. And he's saying that, what's happening here was that he wants him to have to show the garment. Because once he shows the garment, his position weakens considerably. So what he says is, let's rechem l'shem l'dach. I don't have to go through this entire process. Kfashemuk ha-medidach, when you left this garment by me, we made up a price, and I pay what you owe me. I'm not showing you anything. If I'm not showing you anything, that obviously weakens your position. We learned in the Mishnah Aris and the Chazaka that an Aris doesn't have Chazaka. But ask the Gemara, why can't an Aris achieve a Chazaka? Why don't we say that Ad Ha'idna Palga, until now, Aris is only entitled to 50% of the produce. The fact that now, Hashta Kula, the fact that he's eating all the produce is an indication that this field belongs to him. Rabbi Yochanan, the case that we're speaking about here is Barot Barisa Bati Ovis. That this person, and there are many Pshatim and Arisa Bati Ovis. The Rajbam explains that we're talking about Arisim from that have a Chazaka, that they are the Arisim of this field for many generations. And therefore, what the way they arrange it is not that every year there's a certain percentage that the sharecropper keeps and a certain percentage that are given to the owner, but the way they divide it is that they get all the produce for a certain amount of years and the owners get the produce for a certain amount of years. So eating all of the produce is not in any way an indication that I'm not an oris. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Arisei Bati Ovis is that this is a oris, this family has been the oris on this property for many years. And there's a very strong connection between these families. And what they let the oris do is take everything home. And then they come to the oris's home to take their share. But since, again, because of their relationship of being an oris bati ovis, they let them take everything home, the fact that he takes it home doesn't show that he is not an oris. The Rambam explains that oris bati ovis is like an apotropis. And as we've learned in our shiurim, the Mishnah taught us that apotropis doesn't have a chazaka because he's the manager of this property. And therefore, you won't be able to achieve a chazaka. Amram Nachman, to which Rav Nachman says, Oris shahorid arisim tachtof. If you have an oris that there was that oris bati ovis brings somebody else to work in that field, oris shahorid arisim yesh lechazaka. That's considered a way to accomplish that, even though you're an oris, that you should have a chazaka. Says the Gemara, my tama, why? The loy oven inish the naxi iril arivishasik. Nobody's going to allow somebody to bring a different oris into his property without saying anything. And the fact, because they're always concerned, how do I know that this new oris is going to do the job properly? And therefore, if the oris brought somebody to the property, it must mean because he's the real owner of property. Another pshat that the Ramban suggests is that this property was never with Arisim. And all of a sudden, Nat is an Oris on the field. So even though we're learning that normally an Oris doesn't have a Chazaka, as our Mishnah taught, that's in a field that always had an Oris. So if you have a field that always had an Oris, so now the fact that there's an Oris on the field doesn't mean that he's the owner. But all of a sudden we have a field that never had an Oris. Now it has an Oris, and this Oris says, I'm not really an Oris, I'm an owner. He has a strong backing to what he says, because this is not a field that normally has an Oris. Says the Reina Yoina and the Yad Ramah have a different explanation. That if the Oris took people that, and so we learned in the previous piece of Gemara that if the Oris took everything home, by Oris Bati Ovis, that is not a Raya. By Oris Bati Ovis, that is not a Raya, that it's that you're not an Oris, because that's the arrangement. So when is that arrangement going to be understandable? That arrangement, explains the Gemara, is going to be understandable in a case, that arrangement is going to be understandable in a case where they took it all home to his house. But if this Oris, although he's an Oris but the Ovis, didn't just take everything to his home, he divided it amongst many people. So yes, Oris but the Ovis, as the Gemara has been teaching us, it's understandable that he takes everything home, but not that he gives it, that he distributes amongst many homes. If he distributes it amongst many homes, that's a proof that he's not an Oris. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oris, Shechilek Larisim, the Oris that divided it to other Arisim, Ein Lei Chazaka. He doesn't achieve a Chazaka. Why? My Tama. Why is that? Ha'oy Emer Hormia the Ma'al Meshavu. We're able to say that that was the permission that he was given. He was given permission that he doesn't have to do the work himself. And therefore, the fact that that other Arisim are doing the work is not an indication that he is not an Oris. The Cheshuk HaChemer discusses a situation where somebody had a Chazaka, that he had a Chazaka, that he gets to clean the shul. And he does this work, L'shem Shemayim, but he does get paid. And the question is that to what degree could a worker claim that I have a chazaka on a position? To what degree does he have a right does a worker have a right to say of a chazaka? And do we say the same thing? Is there a difference between somebody works for another individual that you're not obligated to keep that person working for you forever, versus a situation when you're working for the tzibur? So if somebody is working for somebody else, the Chazon Ish says that if somebody was hired for a job and there is no contract, there is no halacha, says the Chazon Ish, that you're obligated to keep that worker forever. There is no such understanding. And he says, so what is the term of work that you have to hold him on to? So he has an interesting opinion. His opinion is that it depends how often you get paid. So if you get paid once a month, says the Chazon Ish, you can't let him go, unless there's a good reason, till the month is up. If you pay him by the week, till the week is up, etc. Rav Moshe, however, says that if the job is a job, as we learned in Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Tes Oman Aleph, the Gemara spoke about a Mikri Dardiki, a Rebbe in a yeshiva, a Tafcha, a doctor, a Umna. Those people, if they do damage, if they don't do their job properly, it's a serious loss. They could be removed immediately. Otherwise, Ramosha's opinion is, if you still need that type of an employee, and the employee didn't do anything wrong, the halacha is that you can't let him go. You can't just let him go. The Al Gemara, however, says the Chashukei Chemed, is a raya to the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Because we just spoke about Arisei Bati Avos, and Arisei Bati Avos, that's when there's an assumption you can't let him go, because this is an oris that he had for all the years. But if it wasn't an oris Bati Avos, the Gemara is clearly indicating that he can let him go. And he quotes a story that happened many years ago in Yerushalayim, in the Bikur Cholim Hospital, where there were deficits, budget deficits, and they needed to let go doctors. And there was a doctor in that hospital, his name was Dr. Aronoff, and he was an excellent doctor. However, they wanted to let him go because they couldn't afford to pay him. And the question was brought to the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, and the Beis Din paskened that they have to keep this doctor. And they said it based on Halacha and Arachayim Siman Nun Gimel Sif Chav Hei. Ein Mesalken Chazan Menasoi. We cannot remove a Chazan from his position. Elm Kein Nitzah Psul, unless something that is disqualification. And the Mishnah Berurah says, V'hu Adin Sif Chav Ein Gimel, V'hu Adin L'chol Asmanas, any appointment, if there is no contract given to a certain period of time, any public appointment, that person cannot be removed unless you find a disqualification from him. And the Rambam says in the Tshuva Sarambam, Simon Pehei, we cannot remove a person from his position, Mi Sanhedrin Gedayla, if he's a member of the Sanhedrin, Adl Chazan HaKnesses, if he's the Gabbai of the Shul, Elm Kain, and the Rambam is even stronger, Elm Kain, Posa, Over Avera, Beferesia. You can't, unless he did an Avera Beferesia. So, it seems from here, that what's the reason that they can't let somebody go? Because it's going to cost aspersions. That why was he let go for that person? However, in a situation where everybody recognizes that he's being let go because of budget constraint, then the halacha is that you can let him go. So the psak was that he can let go because nobody's going to come to accuse that this person was let go because he wasn't doing his job right. But there were those that disagreed, because the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin speaks about Shrora, speaks about appointments to job of authority, and the Rambam says there, V'loyim Malchus Bilvad, not only by being king, a kol asroros v'kol aminuyim, any position should be shrol, Yerusha Lebanoi or Benem Benoi at Oilam. This is something that's there forever. And from here, he said that a position of authority is not a job where there could be considerations that change that the person should be let go. It's a position of authority that is there forever. And therefore he says that the same thing here. If the person, so he says, as far as the doctor is concerned, it depends why this doctor is doing his job. If this doctor is doing his job because he wants to help other people, he wants to, the Torah says, so then it's a srora. And it's a srora, it's a yerusha, and can't be removed. But if the person is doing it just for a salary, and now the situation changes, the budget constraints, etc., he could be removed. And he said that this person, this Dr. Aronoff, apparently was a very big tzaddik. And even though he got paid for what he did, it was very obvious that what he did because he cares about the patients. And since he did it because he cares about the patients, he cannot be removed. And the same thing regarding the person who cleans the shul. If the person who cleans the shul is doing it for a salary, then if the situation changes, let's say there's somebody who's willing to volunteer and not get paid to do it. So the shul is not obligated to spend money that they don't necessarily even have, or that they, it's kesef, it's money that belongs to the tzibur, Torah chasam, amanim sheyisrael. We're always careful with money that belongs to the tzibur, and therefore we can let him go. But if the person is primarily doing it for the mitzvah, that he should have the schus of cleaning the shul, and the fact that he's getting paid such a small salary is clearly an indication that that's what his intention is. Under those circumstances, the suggestion is that he can't be let go. Shalach lei Rav Nachman bar Chizkel, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Yomdeinu Rabbeinu, Oris Meid, can the Oris say Edis on behalf of the person who he's working for, that this field belongs to that person, or Ein Meidla, or he can't say Edis? And the question is this Oris considered a negeya? We know that the halacha is a negeya, but Edis can't say Edis. And the Mefarshim debate, why is a person who is a negeya be Edis possible to say Edis? The Levush and the Tzais explain that he's disqualified because it's in the category of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai. And if it's relevant to him, so he's like a Karav. And a Karav can't say Edis, he can't say Edis. The Sma, however, explains that the concern is that since I have something involved here, so that's why the concern is that I may say something that's not true. So the question is, what is the din of the Oris? Is he saying it because he's concerned that he's going to lose his position, he's going to lose his share? Have Yosef Yosef Kamei. Rabbi Yosef was sitting in front of them, Vamalei, and he said, Hachi Am Shmuel. Shmuel taught us that Oris made, that Oris can say testimony. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, how could Shmuel have said that? The Brisa says, Ein Meid. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Had the Ikum Peira Bara. Here, where he's already entitled to fruit. So since he's already entitled to fruit, and he didn't take his share, then he won't be say Edis, because he's worried that he won't get the fruit, the produce that he's entitled to. Had the Leka Peira, if there's no produce that he's entitled to, then he's not considered that he's in the Gei Be'edis, and he will be allowed to say Edis. Even if that's not the concern, why should he not be concerned that he's going to lose the position? To which the Rashbam explains, the position is not making him into Negei Be'edis, because he always could get a job somewhere else. And since he can't get the job to someone else, since he got a job somewhere else, that doesn't make him to a Negei Be'edis. Ask the Rashba, but if he's going to get the payris, so maybe he could say testimony. So he says that as long as the payris need the karka, so he still has to work here. And that's what makes him into a, that continues to keep him as a negei be'edis.